It's Here and Now, and we're broadcasting from Houston today, which, as we mentioned, is now the most diverse metropolitan area in the country. About a quarter of the region's residents were born outside the U.S., and many of those immigrants arrive with little money and little English. Some of them make their way to Houston's Gulfton neighborhood, to the Baker Ripley campus of Neighborhood Centers. That's a nonprofit dedicated to helping new immigrants adjust to life in America. We stopped by to see it for ourselves and found a classroom that felt more like an arrivals lounge at an international airport. It was filled with students from all over the world learning something as American as apple pie, how to return an item they bought but don't want.
Manager, that lady bought this sunblock, and she went to the swimming, and she got the burn on her back, so she want to get her money back. So do you agree?
Let me talk to her.
In a large classroom, a woman who's just arrived from China acts out a skit with a man from Mexico and another woman from the Ivory Coast. They're being taught how to return, in this case, defective sunblock.
Yes, how can I help you?
I bought this sunblock last week, and I went swimming, and I have my back burned, so I would like my money back because it's not as advertised.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, but you need your money back or you need to change another?
No, I just want a refund.
Okay, I'll give you a refund.
Okay, thanks.
Very good.
Their teacher, Selma Jackson, takes it from there and explains the lesson.
So it is not as advertised. The advertisement said it was waterproof. It was not waterproof. Her back was burned. So you are entitled to a refund. Okay? Very good. So let's just move on. What is another reason that we might have to return something?
Sometimes we can change our mind.
Sometimes we can change our mind. Or we just say, I don't want it. Yeah. And you can take it back as long as it's not damaged and not used.
The woman you heard trying to return the sunblock in that skit is Maislu Luba, who arrived in Houston from Ivory Coast less than 2 years ago. I asked her why she came.
I came here to study and to have a better job, a better life, and to prepare the future for my children.
And did you have a network of people? Were there others from the Ivory Coast who already lived here that you, is that why you chose to come to Houston?
Yeah, I have some friends who lived here, who already lived here. And they talked me about the green card, how they did to come here. So I did the same thing, and I came here too.
And how do you like it?
I like the weather. I like everything here.
Luba found a job working at the fast food chain Whataburger. The other woman you heard in the skit, Homely New from China, is trying to learn enough English to find a job.
I have been here half a year.
Half a year?
Yeah.
And how do you like it so far?
Yeah, I like it very much.
And why did you come here?
Because my husband have an assignment for here. To work, so I company with him.
Are you working as well?
No, I don't work.
Are you going to? Do you want to?
Yeah, I want to, but the language is a problem because the native people usually use idioms or something like that, so I can't understand.
The person behind this center, the CEO for the last 20 years, is Angela Blanchard. In a city where public spending isn't the way most things get done, she went in search of private money and found wealthy Houstonians of different political stripes who contributed $20 million to build this place.
Well, I know what it feels like to be poor and broke and wonder if there's a place for you in the world. I know what it feels like to stay awake late at night, listen to a freight train passing, wonder where it's going, wonder if you got on it, if life could be better somewhere else, and what would it take to succeed. And the doubt that comes with one struggle after another, things that work out and things that don't. So I feel that, you know, as long as we look for those people, who, you know, with that burning hunger, as long as we're a magnet as a country and as a city for people with that hunger to do better, learn more, create something, care for their families and their children and their community. This is the place I want to live. I want to live in a place like that. So I do everything I can to make this city a place like that.
The first thing many new immigrants need upon arrival is money. So the Baker Ripley Center has its own credit union. Randy Martinez runs it and says his goal is to serve unbanked and underbanked immigrants.
Many of them don't deal with traditional banking services. They deal with check cashers, payday lenders, grocery stores, and those types of services where they incur fees and expenses that they really shouldn't have to pay. So our goal is really to provide them with basic financial services, to teach them about savings, good savings habits, and also to teach them about lending as well. That's another big part of our program is on auto lending and so forth, is to show them how to go about buying a car without being taken advantage of.
Are you then, though, having to take on risk that obviously other financial institutions don't want to?
Sure. Actually, when you work with low-income families, obviously there is a potential for greater risk. However, what we have found is that our delinquency ratio actually is not much higher than our peer groups right now. And the reason for that is many of these families really work very hard and many times will have down payments. They may have limited credit, but they just need the opportunity to be able to have somebody lend to them. And that's what we're finding with a lot of our families are really good payers. It's just they need to have that opportunity to be able to borrow money from an institution.
Next door to the credit union is a department that offers free tax advice to the immigrants who come here. Catherine Beckner is in charge.
Yes, I oversee the tax center here. This is our year-round center. We do returns for low-income families all year here.
I'm just thinking of how difficult it is for me, somebody who was born and raised in the United States, to get through my tax forms. I can't imagine being just arriving from another country and trying to do that.
Yes, and the Affordable Care Act has just increased the complexity, but all of our volunteers and our staff are trained. Also, for clients that are here that are undocumented, the IRS still wants to collect their money, and by paying their taxes, that helps show that they're good citizens, and it can help them if they apply for citizenship later. But the big part of our program is not only are volunteers certified and they get their taxes done properly, but they also get them done for free. And the cost of tax preparation can be quite substantial. So that's just more money they get to put in their pockets.
And why did you decide to get into this?
I have a master's in accounting, and I heard about this program when I was studying for the CPA exam, thought it sounded interesting.
But I imagine if you wanted to, you could take your master's in accounting and go make a ton of money at, you know, working in the for-profit world.
But I really enjoy this aspect of it, and the people are so appreciative. You're not going to get hugs out in the for-profit world.
As you walk around the campus, you notice there are no gates. It's open with parks in between the various buildings. That, says Gabriela Conde, the assistant director of community development, is by design. It's what the people in the neighborhood asked for.
And I could gladly and proudly say that in 5 years, we've never been broken into or tagged. And the Southwest community in Houston is a very well-known community for gang involvement and soft crime in that area, in that sense. But we've never really experienced, thankfully, anything related to that, even if our campus is accessible.
Why do you think that is?
Well, because we are just a reflection and a result of the neighborhood aspired and dreamed for. They feel that this is part of their project. So why would they? Nobody would put some graffiti marks in your own home. So that's why we believe that people are invested in the work that we have here going on.
And while most of the people who live in this neighborhood are Hispanic, the people you see on this campus come from all over the world. CEO Angela Blanchard says more than 20 languages are spoken here.
Well, it's been described as the new Ellis Island of the United States. And the beauty of it is that many of the folks that are here, when they first came, for example, I watched on occasion people stand next to one another in the hallway waiting for their children to be let out of the classroom. People standing next to one another who came from countries or cultures at war with one another. People who had been taught all of their lives to hate and fear the folks they were standing next to. And the beauty is that all of that breaks down rather quickly when your children share a teacher, a classroom, a field day, a picnic, all of the things that go on here all of the time.
So this is a city that is changing so quickly. The growth is unbelievable. The diversity, it's now the most diverse metro area in the country. You're right on the forefront of that. You're seeing all that up close and personal. What can you tell us about what's happening to Houston right now in 2015?
Well, first of all, it's happened. It's an interesting thing in Houston. We continue to say this is happening. It has happened. We have become the most diverse metro in the country. The fact that the rest of the country hasn't come to that awareness and understanding, kind of not our problem. And so what we really are doing here in Houston that sets us apart, aside from the demographics that makes this a truly remarkable story, is we are saying welcome.
Got photos from the Baker Ripley campus of neighborhood centers in Houston at our website, hereandnow.org. You're listening to Here and Now.